Well, good morning. It's great to be with you. You understand I've tried to come here over the last 3 or 4 years in February, and we got hit so hard with those storms that I couldn't get down here. Churches basically closed up. It was 2 or 3 years in a row, so I haven't been here in a while, and I just want to thank you face-to-face for your prayers and support of our ministry at the jail. A lot of men have come to know the Lord. They're growing in Christ, and we're just thrilled. We're thrilled, and thank you for your part in our ministry. I wanted to turn your attention this morning to Matthew, a passage I'm sure you're well familiar with in the Sermon on the Mount, and it is about prayer. Matthew chapter 7. It's as Matthew is, Jesus is ending his Sermon on the Mount, he makes this statement in verses 7 through 12. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 12. He says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Oh, what man is there among you, who when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he was to ask for a fish, the father would not give him a snake, would he? If you then, being evil or sinful, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." I was taught, many of you know, I came to faith in jail back in 1985 as an inmate. They did not give you a Bible in school. I believe they still don't. But if you go to jail, you get one. I don't know who the genius is who did that, but anyway. I opened a Bible for the first time in a jail at the age of 28. And God revealed himself to me, revealed that I was a sinner on my way to hell, and my only hope was to believe that he sent his son to die for my sins on the cross, that he was buried, that he rose again, and to believe and receive him as my Lord and Savior. And so I did that, and he changed my life forever. Took away the cigarettes, the marijuana, the swearing, the fighting, the gambling, the stealing, he just changed my whole life. And he filled my heart with the Holy Spirit, with love. God is love. And I began to love the Lord and love my neighbor and found joy and peace as the fruit of the Holy Spirit manifested itself in and through me, as also in you. And so, we were taught in jail, no Bible. Anybody remember the rest? I haven't been here in a long time. No Bible, no breakfast. If you learn anything today, let's do it in unison. No Bible, no breakfast, all right? And lunch and supper too, yeah. But let me just say, you must begin the day with God, because we're like sheep, we forget. That's why we constantly need to be reminded of our salvation. That when the lights go out, and they're going to, you know where you're going. Jesus' blood washed away some of your sins, many, most of them, all of them, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But we need to be reminded of this, because in the evils of this world and knuckleheads cutting people's heads off and all the people killing babies, and we need to be reminded, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Can I get an amen? We are not of this world. We're in this world, but we are not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through, and we always have to put God first in our mind. So again, no Bible, no breakfast. The second one is like it. One is no prayer, no power. Let's try that one. No prayer, no power. Now, I want you to write these down. This is important. I learned it in jail back in 85. I've been a Christian 32 years, 31 years. I have not forgot that. I still preach that to this day. As some of you know, I'm the chaplain of that jail. I went out and got out of the jail, went to college, was ordained, went back to that jail and became the chaplain. And I teach just what the chaplain taught me. No Bible, no breakfast. Now, when I open the Bible every morning, and I use the daily bread, just so you know, that's not all I do, but I start with the daily bread. As I read the passage in the Word, and then I read the illustration in the book, I chew on it, I think about it, I meditate on it, as the Bible tells us to do. In fact, if you remember as a baby Christian, you might remember the hand. You read the Bible, study it. You meditate, chew on it, think about it. You memorize certain verses that speak to you, and then you apply it. All right? Read, study, meditate, memorize, apply the Word. This is what I do and have been doing for 31 years. When I chew on it, I think about it. And as I was reading this passage in Matthew, ask, and it shall be given. I began to think about it after I read the verse and read the illustration. I started thinking about it. And I was reminded of an episode back in 2007. 2007, early in 2007, I am riding in my van. I don't know where I'm going, but I'm listening to Christian worship music. And I am just in the Spirit of God, singing to God. I sing terrible, but in the car it doesn't matter. Nobody's there. And I'm singing to God and praising Him, and all of a sudden, I start crying tears of joy. That ever happened to you? And I mean, they were so bad I couldn't see. I had to pull over. And I'll tell you why this happened. Remember, this is 2007. 2 years earlier, in 2005, I was down the Cape here. Not this far down, but we were in a little church was starting up. They were meeting in a school. I think we were in Brewster. But anyway, we're meeting in a little church. I share my testimony, how I came to faith, how I'm a chaplain in jail. I don't get paid by the jail. I have to raise my funds. And I share my ministry, my testimony, and my ministry. And they, would you consider supporting me? So, one of the elders says, can I take you out for lunch? I said, sure. So we go out for lunch. We go to a restaurant. He says, how can we pray for you, your family? I says, well, we have a situation. We have 4 children. And we have 2 vans. They're old vans, used. And when this one's broken down, we use this one. When this one's in the shop, we use that one. And we go back and forth, back and forth. And my wife is getting a little, you know, upset and thinking, we need to break down and buy a van. I said, yeah, but we don't have any money. So this is our dilemma. She's been looking in Consumer Reports, at the Honda, at the Toyota, and I'm like, you know, look all you want, but we don't have any money, you know? So I says, would you pray about a vehicle? He says, absolutely, let's do that right now. He says, what kind of vehicle you want? I said, I'm really not fussy, just as long as it gets from point A to point B, it really doesn't matter to me. He said, well, you need to know what you're praying for. The Bible tells you to ask and you shall receive. I says, okay, yeah, I know that. He says, well, what do you want? What kind of van do you want? I said, well, like I say, my wife's looking at the Toyotas, the Hondas. He said, well, which one? I said, all right, the Toyota. All right. Now I'm starting to think, okay, here we go. Here's one of these name it, claim it guys, and I'm going to play the game. All right. So I go, okay, the Toyota. And he says, okay, what year? I'm like, again, you need to know what you're praying for. He says, why not in 2005? God's arms too short? I said, no. He says, well, let's ask him for a new vehicle. I said, all right, fine. So we pray. We ask him for a 2005 Toyota van. Now, we have dinner, we go our ways, and I forget all about it. Back to 2007, 2 years later. I'm riding down the street, praising God, listening to worship music, and all of a sudden I remember that luncheon with that elder, praying for the 2005 Toyota van. And the tears started rolling down my face till I could not see, and I had to stop because I was driving a 2005 Toyota van. It's in the parking lot right now. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Do you believe that? How many believe that? Give me an amen.
Amen.
You believe this? Again, I don't know how well your prayer meeting is attended. I don't know if you have one. But if you believe this, you need to be praying a lot more than you have been. And it's increased my prayer life. Again, as I was chewing on this and thinking about this, I began thinking about some other situations where we prayed and asked. And it was not long ago, not long after this, about 5 years ago, I was at the jail. I was on Facebook. And I ran into an old friend on Facebook that I used to box with. I was a boxer when I was a kid. And my sparring partner, there were three or four people my weight, so we fought each other every day. We sparred with each other. I hadn't seen him in years. I knew he fought a championship fight. He lost, but I haven't seen him in years. So I see him on Facebook, and he finds out I'm a chaplain at the Plymouth Jail. So he says, "Hey, I have a friend whose son's at the jail. Would you go see him?" I said, "Sure. What's his name?" He gives me his name. I go to the jail the next day, look him up in the computer. I find out he's in a unit down the hall. I call the unit. I ask the officer to send that inmate down to the chapel, and I go down there and wait for him. Here he comes. He's 34 years old. He's in for his fourth OUI. And I could see right away he does not want to be here. I says, "Hey, how you doing?" He says, "All right." I said, "Listen, you don't know me, but a friend of mine knows your dad. Asked me to come and see you. Asked me to see how you doing. You doing okay?" She, "Fine." I said, "Well, what's happening?" "Fourth OUI." Then this is how the conversation went. He does not want to be here. He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't want nothing to do with God. So his answers are just short to the point. So I says, "Well, what's happening?" He says, "Got parole in January. Here it is June. There's no beds. There's no openings in any of the halfway houses. I'm stuck here." It was shorter than that. I'm just explaining it to you. So I says, "Is it all right if I pray for you?" "If you want." So I'm feel bad for this kid, right? Here's this kid, he's lost. Doesn't want to be there, doesn't believe in God, doesn't want nothing to do with anything, and he's a wreck. So I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, "Lord, I pray for Corey. I pray that you would reveal yourself to him and that you would open up a bed for him today in Jesus' name. Amen." Now, I don't usually pray like this. I pray for many people to get a bed because a lot of halfway houses are filled up. So I often pray, "Lord, I just pray a bed would open up." That's just what I usually pray. But today I said, "I pray you'd open up for a bed for him today." I don't know why I said that, but I did. So he says, "Thanks," walks out the door. The next day, I come into jail. I'm in my office. And one of the Christian counselors who was in his unit came to my doorway, put his hand on the doorway, had this big smirk on his face, and said, "Hey, Dan." I said, "Oh, hey, Bill, how you doing?" He says, "I'm doing good." He says, "Have you you heard from Corey Lazine?" That was the guy I talked to. I said, "Corey Lazine?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I talked to him yesterday in the chapel." He said, yeah, you talked about a bed opening up or something." I said, yeah, we did. I prayed for a bed opening up." He said, "Let me tell you what happened." He said, "When he left your chapel, as he was walking back to his unit down the hall, the next door on the left is reintegration, parole, probation. He's walking past the door. It's only 20 feet away from the chapel. As he's walking past the door, Peter comes out, Peter Leonard, who runs parole and stuff and everything. He comes walking out. He sees Corey and says, 'Hey, Corey, I was just on my way to see you. A bed just opened up.'" 5 seconds after I prayed, all right? 5 seconds. Fastest prayer I ever had answered in my life. And I wish I was a fly on the wall and saw this guy's face. Because the man telling me this said, "Danny, the guy walked back in the unit like he saw a ghost. He walked in." And he walked right up to Bill because he knew Bill was a Christian. And he walked right up to him and said, "Can I ask you a question, Bill?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I was just in the chapel with Chaplain Jay, and he prayed that a bed would open up. And as I was walking back, Peter came out and told me a bed just opened up." He said, "Was that a coincidence or was that God?" Bill said, "You tell me." Again, God told us, ask and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be opened. Now you either believe this or you don't. Now you can give mental assent and say, "I believe." Three syllables, kind of rolls off the tongue pretty easy. I believe. You can say that. But if you really believe it, you will ask. You will seek. And you will knock. That's what I'm trying to tell you. As I was chewing on this, and it was one of those mornings where I spent a good hour and a half with the Lord, and I just kept thinking about all the times that God came through for me. I asked, and He came through in the jail. In the jail. I was living with guilt and shame. A man was in the ground because of me from an accident. And I lived with a lot of guilt and shame. He left a wife and two children. And I had so much guilt and so much shame. I just wanted to kill him. I just wanted to rip my heart out, roll over and die because I could not bring him back. I couldn't change what happened. And someone asked me if I ever tried praying. I told him no. I was 28 years old, never went to church in my life. Never knew nothing about God. All I knew about Jesus was when you got mad, you said His name. And so, that night, as I was laying in my bed, and I laid in my bed for a year after this accident, and I would cry myself to sleep. Tears would come out of my eyes, hit the pillow, turn cold. I'd have to keep flipping the pillow for the dry spot. And I would at times envision a dining room table on the wall with a woman, two children, and an empty chair. And every time I saw this, I just wanted to rip my heart out, roll over and die because I could not change what I had done. I could not go back in the pages of time and erase this accident. And it was driving me crazy. And so I remembered what the guy said. It was a hippie guy, long-haired hippie guy, Joe. "Have you ever tried praying to God?" So I looked at the wall, cinder block wall in the jail cell. And I didn't know how to pray. All I said was, "God, please. Please, God." Inwardly, I'm saying, "I can't live like this. I can't bring the man back. I can't change what I had done." But the next thing I know, I fell asleep. Because I woke up in the morning, the sun shining, the cell door sliding open, it's time for breakfast. And it was the first time I slept in a long time. And so a few nights later, the same thing happened. It's late, I can't sleep, and I remember what that guy said, so I prayed again. I fell asleep, I woke up, and it was and I had slept again. And so I wanted to know more about God. And I didn't know what to do, so I knew anybody who talked about God always carried a book. You know, your Jehovah's Witnesses, your Catholic, your born-again Christian, they always carry a book, so I said, "I've got to get the book." I asked for a Bible, I got one. And I read about Jesus of Nazareth and I fell in love with him. But when he started talking about sin, "Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt..." I busted all of these. Yikes, I'm in trouble. And then I realized these are going to be cast into outer darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. And I'm thinking, I think he's talking about hell. So I go to chapel for the first time in jail. And after the message is over, I tell the chaplain, "Chaplain, I'm in trouble. I've been breaking a lot of these laws and sin, and it says they're going to be cast out of darkness, weeping after you." I said, "Are we talking about hell?" He said, "Yes, we are. You need to be saved." And when he said that, the officer was bringing the inmates back, and he looked at me and he went, "And Chaplain, wait a minute. Do you believe Jesus died for your sins?" I said, "Yeah, Chaplain, I believe that. But listen, I'm 28 years old. I got a lot of sins. I've been doing this stuff all my life." He said, "Jesus Christ died once and for all for the sins of the world." He said, "When you go back to your cell, you get on your knees. And you say, 'God, I know I'm a sinner. But I believe Jesus died for my sins on that cross. I believe He was buried, He rose again. I want you to come into my life. I go back to my cell and I do that all day long. And He starts changing my life. After that happened, not long after that happened, the guy in the next cell says, "Hey, you got a smoke over there?" I said, "Yeah. You know what? Keep them." I gave him my pack. I never smoked again. I tried to quit for 20 years. Never could do it. All of a sudden, bang. Then we went to marijuana, cocaine, drinking, fighting, swearing, all. And I don't want to do this stuff anymore. And then I read what Jesus said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm thinking, this is awesome. You don't get to lie. You don't get to steal. You don't get to punch somebody up. I like this. I like this. I want in on this. And so God began changing my life. And I lit the jail on fire and led people to Christ. And then when I got out, I told the chaplain, "Listen, I'm getting out. What do I do on the outside?" He said, "You find a good Bible-believing church." I said, "How do you know if it's a Bible-believing church?" Said, "Well, you go in there. If they're preaching the Bible, you stay. If they're not, get up and leave." So I had to get up and leave a couple times. But I found one, good Baptist church in Holbrook, and they taught me the Word. And I had a discipleship teacher. And we studied and studied. And I went back in the iron. I was an iron worker building skyscrapers. And I crushed my thumb on the Heinz Auditorium. I was out for 2 years therapy. While I was on therapy, trying to get the strength back, it never came back, but I was trying to. I'd go Monday, Wednesday, Friday in the hospital. When I was not there, I was at the church every day. Pastor's mowing the lawn. "Excuse me, let me do that." You know? He's painting. "Give me the brush. You don't know what you're doing. Move aside. Get out of the way." He going to the hospital. "Hey, can I go with you?" He going to the nursing home. "Hey, can I go with you?" And I'm hanging around with him, and he's leading people to Christ. He's praying with people. He's counseling people. And I'm saying, "I like this. I like this." And so after 2 years of therapy, I realized the strength's not coming back. I'm not going back on the iron. Broke my heart because I love doing it. And I quit. So the church found out and said, "Hey, I hear you all done on the iron." I said, "Yeah." They said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I don't know, man, but I think I want to serve God." And somebody said, "Well, you got an education?" I said, "Yeah, I finished high school." I mean, I was proud of that. None of my friends did. He said, no, "Have you been to college?" I said, "Oh, no, I've been to no college." He said, "Well, if you want to preach the Word, you got to get educated." I said, "There's a scholarship for guys that have done time called the Charles Colson Scholarship." He said, "You need to pray about that." I said, "Okay." So I prayed. I applied, and lo and behold, a year later, I'm accepted. And I go off to Wheaton, Illinois, and I study Bible and theology for 4 years. And I don't know what I'm going to do, so again, I'm asking God, "What's your will? What's your will? Am I going to be a professor? Am I going to teach? Am I going to be a pastor? Am I going to be a missionary? Am I, you know, what do you want me to do, Lord?" And so my sophomore year, the chaplain called up from Plymouth, Mass, and said, "They built a new jail back here. It's 4 times as big as the old jail. There's not a cockroach in sight." I'm like, "You're kidding me." The old jail was bad. It was rats every, believe me, it was bad. He said, "They need a full-time chaplain. I want you to pray about this when you finish school." I said, "Okay." Got off the phone, told my wife. We began praying. Remember, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be opened. So I finished my degree, and I chaplain helps me with a resume and gets me back here for an interview with the sheriff, and I get the job. The sheriff says, "I understand you're the new man for the job. Chaplain speaks very highly of you. I understand you'll be faith-funded." I looked at him. He says, "I'll explain that to you." So I get the job, and I ask him later. I said, "What's this faith-funded thing?" He says, "Remember I told you to always trust the Lord?" I says, "Yeah." He said, "Well, this is one of those things where you got to trust the Lord. You see, they don't have any money. But you trust the Lord, and there'll be people in churches who will support you and help pay your bills." And I'm like, "Really?" He says, "Yeah." That was 20 years ago. In fact, October 1st will be 20 years that I've been at the chapel. And I will say, God has provided. I will say, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened. not just because it's true in my life, but our Lord and Savior said it. And you need to believe that. A lot more with just the head nod and an amen. I mean, you need to believe this. Another verse is Matthew 21, verse 22, where Jesus elaborates on it a little bit. And notice what he says there. Matthew 21, verse 22. One verse. Jesus says, "And anything you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Everybody got that? So it's not just ask and you will receive. You got to ask and believe. And again, this is a lot more than the nod of the head, the amen. I mean, you got to believe. You must believe. I'll tell you what happens if you don't believe. Nothing. Nothing. I'll give you one more verse. Matthew 13, verse 58. Matthew 13, verse 58. One verse. Jesus, in his own hometown, was not able to do many miracles there. Why? Why? What does the word say? Because of their unbelief. Is believing important? Yeah. And if you believe, you will act. You know, you will pray. You will seek. You will knock. And that's the only thing stopping us. You've got to believe. He was not able to do many miracles there, the Bible says, the Word of God, which is truth, because of their unbelief. It's like, you've got to believe. You've got to believe. I mean, really believe. Not just, you know, go to church and go through the motions. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Love you. You know, forget the thing. I'm talking, you've got to really believe this. You've got to really believe this. And so, again, back at the table, I'm chewing on this, thinking about all the answers to prayer. I remember when I was in jail, I had a woman that I was living with in sin before I was a Christian. And I had a dilemma because now I'm a Christian and I'm telling her, you need to be saved. And she doesn't want no part of it. And I had been with her 3 years. She had a little boy who grew up calling me daddy, and he was like my own little son. I loved him. But I had a dilemma because the word says, do not be unequally yoked. What relationship does Christ have with the devil, or does light have with darkness? The answer is none. So I get a serious problem. I'm telling the pastor, listen, pastor, I love this girl, but she doesn't want nothing to do with God. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. What do I do? What do I do? I mean, would you pray with me? I want her to become a Christian, but I don't think she wants in. She doesn't want nothing. She wants the old Danny, and I ain't going back. And she said, he kept saying, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. And he said that a million times. And I will say till the day I die, we need to trust the Lord. So I get out of jail. I tell her, I'm going back to my parents' house. We're going to date. And if you become a Christian, maybe we can think about a relationship. But if not, we're not. So Friday night, we go out for dinner. We go to our favorite restaurant, and the food comes, and I say, all right, let's pray. And she said, we're right here, in front of everybody. I said, Susie, these people didn't die for me. Jesus did. I just want to thank her. I did it in jail. I'm going to do it now. Whatever. So I pray, and we have our dinner. After we're done, I get the bill, I take out a track, put a tip in, and she said, do you have to do that? I'm like, yes, Susie, you're not getting this, are you? People are on their way to hell. They're going to burn in hell forever when they die. And if they don't put their faith in Jesus, they're out of luck. All I did was give her a track, all right? What's your problem? Yeah, whatever. So she gives me a ride home, and I call her, and she's busy. I call her, she's busy. I call, she don't answer the phone, and a few weeks later, I get the hint. Okay, I get the hint. Plan A is not now pray for her to be a Christian. Now it's plan B. I want a godly woman, Lord. Pray for a godly woman. And so I read Proverbs chapter 31. I read 1 Peter 3. And I read the characteristics of a godly woman. And I said, Lord, I beg of thee. If a woman exists like this, please give me a godly woman. And not long after, I was at the church on a Sunday night, and a lady came in to present her ministry. She was a missionary with handicapped children, young adults. And so she's showing slides, working with handicapped people. Some are mentally disabled, some are physically disabled, and so they're sharing Christ, and I'm thinking, gee, that's pretty cool. That's in the Bible. You know, they have a wedding feast, and everybody makes excuses. They can't come, so the king says, bring in the lame, the maimed, the crippled, the blind. Bring them in. So I'm like, gee, that's pretty cool. So we go out for breakfast, for dinner afterwards. After Sunday nights, all the singles would go out for ice cream. And so we go out for ice cream. And I tell her, hey, I'd like to get in on your ministry. And she said, you know, we're looking for a church to do the fourth Sunday of every month, do Sunday school after church at Boston Children's Hospital. I said, really? I said, if you can find a leader in here, I want to get in on that. She said, why don't you be the leader? I said, look, lady, you know, I just got out of jail a few weeks ago. She said, so? Pray about it. So I go back to the chat pastor. I say, hey, remember that lady that was here? You know, we went out for ice cream. She's got a ministry opportunity, this and that. She said, you know, that I should pray about it and this and that. And the pastor said, yeah, pray about it. Okay, so I prayed about it. Got the literature. And I told her, I said, lady, look, I lost my license for 10 years. She said, that's right, I'll pick you up. She starts coming to my church. She picks me up in the morning, brings us to church. We go home. She says, let's pray. So we pray. She picks me up Sunday night. We go to church. We come home. She says, let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. So we pray. She picks me up Wednesday night. We go to Bible study. We come home. She says, let's pray. She drives me up and pray. She picks me up for prayer meeting on Thursday night. We come home afterwards. She brings me home. Let's pray. Yeah, let's pray. And so we do this for, you know, a year and a half. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, you know, this woman's a godly woman. The guy's a little slow. You know that, right? You know. And I'm thinking, I really like this girl. And so the elder at the church notices we're always together. And he says, hey, what's up with you and Kim? I notice you guys are always together a lot there. I said, listen, I'll tell you what's up, man, but you got to pray for me. Because I think I'm falling in love with this girl. He said, well, what's wrong with that? I said, well, I'll tell you what's wrong with that. I mean, I'm praying for a godly woman. This woman's a godly woman. There's nobody godly. You know, but she was a little overweight. So I said, you know, I was thinking a little more like, you know, 36, 24, 38, you know. I was younger then. Stuff that mattered when young. And he says, come here, Danny. And he puts his arm around me. We take a couple steps and he said, let me tell you something. You ain't no prize package either. I said, that's it. I'm going to marry the girl. So we got married, just celebrated 27 years. We have four children. But the whole story is about ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened. Do you believe this? Do you guys have a prayer meeting? How well attended is it? If I was to get the answer, I got a feeling not very well. That's the way most churches are. What I'm here to say is, God said this, not me. And the reason you do not have, the Bible says, is why? You do not ask. You do not ask. It's very simple here. The problem's not with God. The problem's with us. You got to ask. You got to seek. You got to knock. You got to believe. You got to believe this. It's great coming to church. It's great stand up, sit down, say the prayer, go through the motions. You know, yeah, you can do the Catholic, do a little kneeling and stuff. You know, the robot stuff. Yeah, you can do all that. But you know what that means? Nothing. Nothing. Unless you truly believe, it means nothing. You're just going through the motions. We need to be men and women of God. You have the Holy Spirit. God is in you. He's moving you. He wants you to do this. He's empowered you to be able to do this. The only one who's stopping him is the unholy Trinity. Me, myself, and I. You got to get with the program. We got to get with the program here. Because God said this, and He is Lord, and we got to believe. We got to do this. And I just, again, when you open the Word each morning, no Bible, no breakfast, no prayer, no power. When you open the Word, again, chew on it. Think about what you just read. If it's about forgiveness, think about forgiving all day. I don't know how many times this happened. I read about a passage on forgiveness. Later on that day, here comes that guy that stuck me in the back. And I do not want to forgive him. But guess what? I just read the Word. I've been thinking about this. I've been chewing on this. And he didn't come into my thing by happenstance. It was not a coincidence. You know? It was time to practice what you believe. We need to renew our mind by the Word of God. And as you do, God begins to change you. He wants to make you the man or the woman of God that He wants you to be. Because remember, we are not of this world. We're pilgrims. We're just passing through. We're going to spend eternity with God. And I would get used to obeying Him now and believing now, because you're going to be with Him forever. And all He's saying is, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, it shall be opened. And He loves you so much, He would send His Son to die for you. You need to chew on that. This is how much you mean to Him. And everything is His. Everything is His. We come in naked, we leave naked. Everything stays here. It's all His. And He wants to give to you. But you've got to ask. You've got to believe. You've got to ask. And that's what will happen. So let us pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thy Word is truth. Thank You for Thy living Word, Your Son. Thank You for sending Him, Lord, to reveal Yourself to us, to die for our sins, to rise again, to be seated at the right hand of the Father, to be given the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, help us to realize how much we need You. Realize that we just need to ask and believe, and that You will still do the miracles that You have done in the Bible. You're still doing them today. All we have to do is ask and believe, Lord. And there are so many needs, so many people on their way to hell. We know them. Some of them are close. Some are family members. We need to be men and women of prayer. We need to ask that You would give them Your Spirit. Open their eyes before the lights go out. And while we're doing that, thanking You and praising You for what You did in our lives, giving us Your Spirit, causing us to be born again, that we could know You, not just know about You, we could know You. Lord, we love You. We praise You. We worship You. We adore You. There is no one like You. No one. As we've entered to worship, we now will depart to serve. Help us to be good servants who are observant. And when we see someone in trouble, we see a need, we see where we can be, help someone or love somebody or listen or pray or be with them, that we would respond for Your glory and honor as children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank You, Father. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, thank You. Amen. And amen.